the pitch. Fly ball left center. Marte on his horse. He's going to turn. That one's going to sail out of here. Welcome back, Ozzy Albies.
Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Welcome, everybody. With me is my co-host, Matt. Hey, Matt, I hear you've been two-timing me with another podcast.
Oh, I know. I just cat around, but yes, I was a guest on the Atlanta Baseball Talk podcast this past week as they're in their final victory lap. So they're interviewing some people from different podcasts, and they selected us to be one of the representatives. So went on there and talked to them for about 20 minutes. It was a good, lively conversation.
Yeah, I was actually really entertained by that. It would have been great if I had been part of that conversation, but I kind of fell asleep after work and didn't hear Steve calling me. So Matt went solo on there and did a great job. Atlanta Baseball Talk. If anybody's listened to this, hopefully they've checked them out. They've been around since 2007, kind of the, you know, as far as fan podcast goes, I don't think there's a more venerable one around. So make sure you check that out. Check out Matt over on that podcast. It's nice 20-minute conversation, and well worth a listen.
Yeah, they're the elder statesmen of the podcast community for what we do, and they paved the way for what a lot of these podcasts are doing today.
Well, Matt, this has been kind of a fun week for Atlanta Braves baseball. Probably the most fun was on Wednesday. The Braves set a single-season record for runs scored in a game for franchise history with putting up 29 runs on the Miami Marlins on the day that Ozzy Albies returns back to the lineup. And I don't know what else you say about that.
No, I was reading Jason Stark's column. He puts out his column every week for The Athletic about just little odds and ends and oddities and the numbers around baseball. And I think he spent probably 2/3 of his column on that one game this week. It was pretty entertaining. And when you see numbers that you're having to look back into the 19th century to find similar numbers for a baseball game, that's pretty entertaining and historic right there.
Yeah. But for our purposes, probably the more interesting games have been the last two. We had back-to-back starts by Ian Anderson and Kyle Wright. I went looking to see when was the last time we had rookie pitchers go back-to-back and throw six or more innings for each start, and I had to go back to 2017 when Luis Jehara and Lucas Sims went back-to-back with six-plus innings each. So it's been almost exactly 3 years, actually, since that happened. So Anderson and Wright, what can you say about them? They both look really strong, especially Anderson.
Yeah, Anderson, I mean, he just looked dominant, and it's not written in pencil anymore. It's written in pen that he's going to be in the playoff rotation based off his performance and what he's done even in these visiting ballparks. I mean, he's had solid performances in Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, and now Nationals Park. So I'm not sure how much more he could do to make his cause to be in the postseason rotation, as what's most likely going to be in the number two spot.
Yeah, and Kevin Keneally, who's a Twitter guy, likes posting stats and things like that. He came up with this. This kind of floored me. Ian Anderson is the first pitcher in Major League history to have more than one game of over six innings with over six strikeouts and less than two hits through his first four Major League starts.
Yeah, you would think at some point during the past, whether, I don't know, maybe to say like Mark Fidridge or somebody like that who busted onto the scene, or Fernando Valenzuela, neither one of them had performances like this. I mean, when you look back over the 150-ish years of baseball history and don't see this, I mean, that is seriously serious history being made right there.
Right. And according to Baseball Savant, only three hard hit balls off of Ian the entire outing and nine strikeouts. He's shown the curveball. It's shown flashes at times, but this was the first start, I think, that he really had pretty much all three of his pitches working completely the entire game. The curveball was just as good as the fastball or the changeup. And if you've watched him, you know how good that fastball and that changeup have been since he's joined the major leagues. He had nine strikeouts, five on the changeup, two on the four-seamer, and two on the curveball.
Yeah, I believe it was. I think it was the second inning. I believe he gave up a couple of walks, and once he managed to get himself out of that situation, because at first it looked like okay, I believe it was about 43 pitches after two innings. Like okay, let's hope we can get five solid innings out of him. But I mean, he just absolutely buckled down from there and basically just ran the table. I believe the only hit he gave up was a bunt single to Asdrubal Cabrera, and I mean, he just went through that lineup like it was nothing. Go around for him will probably be on, I'm guessing, next Saturday against the Mets in New York. So another road start in another environment. We'll see how he does there. But I fully expect him to do just as well there as he has been so far.
The record for rookie pitchers against the Mets for the Braves has been pretty good.
Yeah, I remember Mike Soroka did fairly well against them when he first came up. So hopefully they just have some flashbacks or either that, or if they just – by next weekend, they may very well have thrown in the towel and see what kind of lineup they run out there.
And we're recording this just not too long after the end of Sunday night's matchup between the Nationals and the Braves. Kyle Wright started this one. He went six innings. And, you know, according to the stats, he gave up three earned runs, four runs total. He really pitched even better than that. He had a little bit of shaky defense behind him and some Adam Eaton bunt singles. I don't know what all the bunting was up for the Nationals this weekend, but, you know, any port in a storm, I guess. But he had five pitches working today, by far the most dominant outing we've seen from Wright, certainly this year and possibly as a big leaguer.
Yeah, I believe the only time I really thought he was in – I was like, here we go again, was possibly the beginning of the second inning when Asdrubal Cabrera hit the first pitch of the inning. He jacked it out to right field for a home run, and I thought that was – it's like, oh, no, here we go again. But like we had pointed out in the previous start, hey, it's a solo home run. It's not a complete killer, and he didn't fall apart after that. I mean, he pitched solidly, and like you mentioned, he had some pretty shaky defense behind him, but he managed to get through it all. And if you'd said going, if you'd asked going into the start, would you take three earned runs over six innings for Kyle Wright? I was like, yes, anytime, any day, because I mean that's exactly the kind of outing the Braves need from starting pitchers who aren't named Ian Anderson and Max Fried.
So Kyle Wright, obviously, this was his second start this week, and since he's come back, he's pitching from the far left extreme side of the rubber. And what that seems to have done, it's really given his two-seam fastball a lot of room to play. It's got kind of natural arm side explosive action anyway. And that's really going to that left side of the rubber's really made it difficult for right-handed hitters, it looks like. It keeps coming in on them. And they give up on it, and it's hitting the corner for strikes. It's really been fun to watch. Even in that first outing where he struggled a little bit, that fastball was still working good.
Yeah, and an unheralded MVP this season for the Braves is going to be Josh Tomlin, because I was reading, I believe it was Mark Bowman's article that he wrote this morning, saying that Kyle Wright moving to the left side of the first base side of the rubber was Josh Tomlin's suggestion to him. If that's the case, between that and the work that Tomlin did with A.J. Minter during the COVID break in Texas, sounds like there's a couple of pitchers he's helped out. So he's kind of acting as almost a de facto second pitching coach for this team.
Yeah, that may earn him a contract for next year, too.
But speaking of Tomlin, that kind of strengthens the team even more, because if they're going to be using this as a kind of a tryout period, that moves Tomlin back into long relief where he's really thrived this season. So that strengthens the pitching staff even further.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about kind of the ramifications of what's going on this week with the rotation here. But sticking with Wright just for a minute, probably the biggest difference I saw between Wright's first start earlier in the week and then today. The slider, which is kind of his traditional go-to strikeout pitch, in that first outing, it was dead. Like there was nothing going with that slider, and it got constantly punished. But today, and I didn't know if he would be able to have that kind of same extreme vertical drop on the slider like we have seen as he was coming up through the minor leagues. But today, the slider was right back there where you would kind of expect it to be. And boy, that is an exciting prospect for Braves to, if he can keep all those pitches going the way he showed today and keep that consistent release point. That's the other thing I saw today. Consistent release point. He never felt like he was losing command all of a sudden, like sometimes happens with him. I thought the exact same thing as you when Cabrera hit that homer in the second, because that is where he has been having so many trouble. Something goes wrong and he loses feel for his release point and his command goes south. He avoided all that today, and the result was his first major league win.
And I'm hoping that even if the plans are not to put him in the postseason rotation, which who knows at this point, that they at least give him a couple more starts here at the end of the season to let him get more acclimated to that first base side of the rubber and let him just keep rolling out there for at least a couple more starts to try to get some more out of him. But if he has a couple more outings like he did today, I mean, that's going to be really solid news going into the 2021 season.
Absolutely. So this rotation, this is kind of interesting. It seems like, starting today and certainly Monday through Tuesday, this is almost like tryout camp. There is a fourth starter spot for a playoff that's open right now, essentially. And this is assuming that Cole Hamels comes back and pitches well enough to get a third spot after Fried and Anderson. So there will need to be a fourth spot, at least assuming the Braves go to the second round, which I know that should not be assumed. But just for kicks, let's assume it for now. And we'll need at least one long reliever. So we have Touki Toussaint going on Monday for his bid for one of those spots. And we've got Bryce Wilson and Wiskar Yanoa both at the major league level right now, both had pretty good long relief outings already. So there's a TBD on Tuesday. That could be Bryce Wilson. That would have been Robbie Erlen's spot. And it was Wilson who came in for Erlen on that, I believe. So he's kind of set up for that already if they want to do that. Also, Sean Newcomb is back in the majors. He has not made an appearance, so he would presumably be also a possibility if they do not need any of these guys for tomorrow. And then still down at the alternate training site, Mike Foltynewicz. Kyle Wright reported that his fastball is back up in the 95-mile-per-hour range. You got to think they're going to give Foltynewicz at least one more shot to try to maybe get that fourth starter spot. And we haven't even talked about Tucker Davidson yet, who, seems like a long shot at this point. He hasn't made his major league debut yet, but they're obviously waiting for the proper time for him, kind of like they waited for Ian Anderson, but he's still lurking back there. So Matt, how do you think this week is going to shape out?
Yeah, I think for these guys, like I think in the case of like Wright, Touki, and whoever pitches on Tuesday, it's basically a one and done opportunity. If you pitch well, like Wright did today, Wright's going to get more opportunities this season. But I think if, let's say, Touki comes in tomorrow and he pitches three innings, gives up six runs, I don't know if he would get another start this season, because it's basically just open tryout time. And if you don't produce, you're just not going to be on this playoff roster. Tuesday, I don't know who would go. My thinking is Sean Newcomb is here as a long reliever. I don't think he's here to start at all. Part of what comes to that thinking, I know the bullpen was a little depleted today, but the fact that Tyler Matzek pitched in the seventh inning it was a fairly high leverage situation. The Braves were up, I believe, 6-4 at that point. He struck out Trey Turner and Juan Soto, which should get him a statue at Truist Park, but at the very least, I think it's going to probably get Brian Snitker's attention to give him a little slightly higher leverage situation for among the left-handed relievers and maybe free up long relief spot for Sean Newcomb. But I just don't see him getting that opportunity. But we've been hearing too much about Mike Foltynewicz to not think that he's going to get at least one opportunity. And I think that's all he would need. If he comes in, has one outing and throws seven innings of two-run baseball or something, I think that would get him his golden ticket to the fourth spot of that playoff rotation.
And going back to the other pitchers, Matt, you told me before this, before we started recording, it looks like Bryce Wilson and Wiskar Yanoa very close to making the service time portion of losing prospect status. So I will tell the orchestra to start warming up for Pomp and Circumstances on our next show. If they make it to the majors by Wednesday, they may be needed.
Yeah, just a matter of what happens tomorrow. Let's say if Tukey can go a fair distance and they don't need any long relievers, then imagine both of those guys. But one of them might have to go down, because I believe Tukey hasn't even been activated yet. So somebody's going to have to be optioned out to make room. So it might be one of those two gentlemen that unfortunately has to bite the bullet.
Yep. All right. Well, there was a little bit of movement at the alternate training site. Braves still adding players here, even at this late date. And this is one that caught people a little bit by surprise. I think we saw Victor Vodnik being added at some point. I think both of us were a little surprised he wasn't added in the first place. But this is a name that not a lot of people have been paying attention to. William Woods, who pitched in 2019 for Rome, added. There was been some video circulating recently about Woods pitching in the 99 mile per hour, stratosphere in a bullpen session. It looks at least like the Braves were paying attention to that, but I think they were kind of high on him a little bit anyway. He started out in the bullpen last year for Rome, and then by the end of the year, he was in the starting rotation and did a really nice job for them. So 23rd round draft pick, William Woods, moving on up.
Well, we're moving on up. Moving on up.
Very interesting case. I mean, he's just 21 years old still, won't turn 22 until almost the end of the year. But in fact, he was the one that was circulating the video hitting 99 on the gun. I mean, he was putting it out to anybody and everybody. He even sent me a direct message on Twitter with the video of this fastball. So he wanted it out there. I don't know if it's a coincidence, but I mean, probably within 48 hours after he started circulating that video is when he was added to the player pool. So obviously, I mean, I like to think that that got somebody's attention in the front office, and it's like, hey, we got some extra spots here on the player pool, and with pitchers going up and down, we need some arms here. Let's get a look here for a couple weeks at him.
Yeah, last year for Rome as a starter, and he started seven games in the second half of the season, 2.89 ERA, 28 innings and 28 strikeouts. So already I think he was getting a little bit of notice, kind of in that kind of Matt Hartman, Hayden Deal sort of thing, where, let's just he keeps doing well in relief. Let's go ahead and put him in the rotation, and he just keeps having success. So him being added to this alternate training site, it's also going to put him on the prospect mat a little bit for other people. So hopefully this works out well for him.
Yeah, and if you got one or two guys that are going to be falling off the prospect list over the next week, there's going to be a couple spots opening up. So he may very well get one of those. And I would think this would give him kind of a head start on possibly entering 2021 as part of the high A team, since he already has experience at Rome and is getting some player pool time. So hopefully that'll give him a little bit of a boost there heading into next season.
And just to toot my own horn, I drafted him in our unfortunately defunct minor league baseball draft before the beginning of the season. So clearly I saw potential there and acted accordingly.
Well, there you go.
All right. So on the minor league baseball, major league baseball negotiations that are going on. There wasn't a proposal, or at least not a publicized proposal by Major League Baseball as we were kind of anticipating, as far as a list of franchises that Major League Baseball would like to call from the minor league ranks. But there was a big development, and that is the resignation of minor league president Pat O'Connor.
Yeah, he termed it as his retirement, and he put out a long message in announcing his retirement. He's been president of MILB for 13 years, and he's been with the MILB office for 28 years. And this all kind of comes off as basically it's MILB running up the white flag. They never had any leverage to start with during these negotiations. And from what it sounds like, they've told all the employees in their office in St. Petersburg, Florida, to basically just go look for new jobs. There's really nothing left here. Everything's going to be run out of the MLB office in New York. So basically, MLB is just cutting out the middleman and taking everything over for themselves. So it was always going to go this direction anyway, but I think this just kind of smooths the road for MLB in order to take everything over here towards the end of the month.
And it's, you know, it's obviously the end of an era. He may end up being the last, you know, president of minor league baseball. And, you know, he had a long, successful tenure. The franchise values for minor league baseball is, you know, skyrocketed, you know, and he wasn't, you know, totally responsible for that, but he's done a nice job really highlighting minor league marketing and, you know, and minor league attendance is, you know, before the shutdown was higher than it essentially had ever been, you know, at least in the affiliated ball era. So happy retirement, Pat O'Connor, and we'll just have to see what the next phase is of all of this minor league baseball stuff.
Yeah, because I imagine the next handful of announcements will be involving the teams, the alignments, who's going to be running things out of the MLB office. So there's going to be a lot to come on that over the next couple of months.
Well, I don't really have anything else. You got anything, bud?
No, I think that'll do it. I'm fairly short program this week, but they're chock full of some good information, especially with the starting pitching, the young starting pitching of the Braves staff. And just like Hannibal with the A-team said, I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, boy, it's been a struggle getting here, but the last two games have been immensely gratifying. So hopefully we'll keep up that kind of role with Tukey on Monday, and then whoever TBD turns out to be on Tuesday here, and then hopefully we'll finally take the wraps off of Cole Hamels, and we'll see how he does. And then we got Max Fried back on Friday, you know, if all goes to plan, and suddenly the Braves' pitching problems may be starting to sort itself out. Knock on wood. Cross your fingers.
Yeah, I was looking kind of over a potential starting rotation for the rest of the season, and it looks like Max Fried will probably get about two more starts. Ian Anderson get two more starts, and then it's just kind of fill in the and see if Cole Hamels goes, he might be able to get three starts in, and then after that, it's kind of fill in the blanks and open tryouts.
Yep. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and have a great week.
Have a good one.
No. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. C'est payé. Allumer le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours.
je repars à zéro. Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien, ni le bien. Ma vie